Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Local news roundup. Police searching for woman connected to package theft. The Odessa Police Department is reportedly looking for a woman involved in stealing packages off a person's front porch. The reported theft happened around 7:22 p.m. December 9th in the 100 block of Aloha Drive, an OPD press release stated. Investigation reportedly showed a woman stole two packages off the victim's front porch and left in a pickup. OPD has released a photo of the woman and the pickup that can be seen at tinyurl.com/YA8HGD8G. Anyone who recognizes the woman or the pickup is asked to contact Detective Y. Madrano at 432-333-3641 or Odessa Crime Stoppers 432-333-TIPS and reference case number 20-00214-28. MCH reports 167th COVID-19 related death. Medical Center Health System reported its 167th COVID-19 related death Thursday. The patient, an 80-year-old woman, died Thursday afternoon. She was a resident of the Parks Nursing Home in Odessa and was admitted to MCH December 10th. She had pre-existing conditions. The family has been notified. Obituaries for Friday, December 18th. Jaime R. Rodriguez. Jaime R. Rodriguez passed away December 14th in Odessa. Visitation will be held Friday, December 18th from 1 to 9 p.m. at Martinez Funeral Home. Rosary will be recited December 18th at 7 p.m. Mass will be celebrated Saturday, December 19th at 10 a.m. at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church with Father Mark Woodruff officiating. Jaime was born in Chihuahua, Mexico, to Alfredo Rodriguez Zamora and Carmen Rodriguez Gutierrez, July 14th, 1962. He married Stacy in 1983 in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Jaime is preceded in death by his father, his brother, and a brother, Alonso. He is survived by his wife of 37 years, Stacy, sons Chris and wife Crystal Sparks, son Jaime Rodriguez, daughter Linda, and husband Sammy Zubia, 10 grandchildren, his mother Carmen, sisters Reina and Myrna, brother Alfredo, and many beloved nieces and nephews. Thomas Charles Charlie Valadez, 63, of Lake Brownwood, passed away Sunday, December 13th. Visitation will be held from 5 to 8 p.m. Monday, December 21st, at Brownwood Funeral Home and Cremations, located at 2512 Bell Plain in Brownwood. He was born in Dallas to Loida Moss and Jesse Valadez, September 8th, 1957. Charlie is preceded in death by a daughter, Casey Valadez, his wife, Teresa Valadez, his mother, Loretta Torres, and his father, Jesse Valadez. He is survived by his spouse, Marjorie Starkey, daughter, Heather Baker, and husband, Carlos, daughter, Stephanie Stevens, son, Joseph Valadez, and wife, Bethany, son, Aaron Valadez, and wife, Jamie, siblings, Dee Dee and Roy Villapando, and Marlon and Cecil Salazar, 13 grandchildren, 5 great-grandchildren, and numerous nieces and nephews. Online condolences may be made online at www.brownwoodfuneralhome.net. John Clyde Nichols. John Clyde Nichols passed away December 14th in Midland. He was born December 1st, 1944 in Big Spring to the late Orrin and Juanita Nichols. He was married to Becky for over 55 years. He is survived by his wife, his daughter, Kathy, and husband Lance Armstrong, Kim and husband David Terry, and Nick and wife Annie, 9 grandchildren, sisters Edith and Nikki, brother Kenneth, and many nieces, nephews, and cousins. He was preceded in death by his parents, Juanita and Orrin Nichols, a sister and brother-in-law, Doris and Larry Witten, brother Don Nichols and wife Barbara, sister and brother-in-law, Bobby and Ran Nagel, brother-in-law, Luis Orozco and wife Edith, and a brother-in-law, Roy Lobner and wife Nikki. A celebration of life service is planned for 11 a.m. Monday, December 21st at Sovereign Grace Church at 2901 West Kansas in Midland. Donations in his memory can be made to West Texas Victors, a local nonprofit organization committed to providing resources to legal Congolese refugees. Arrangements are under the direction of Nallie Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Sammy Joe Rodriguez. Sammy Joe Rodriguez, 62, of Odessa, passed away Tuesday, December 15th. He was born in San Antonio, October 20th, 1958, to Miguel Rodriguez Sr. and Carmen Schmidt. Surviving him are his wife, Bernalda Lozano, sons Juan Manuel Lozano, Julian Lozano, son Andres Lozano, and David Lozano, daughters Dolores Luna, April Mancha, and Alexis Lozano, brothers Miguel Rodriguez Jr., Albert Rodriguez and Danny Rodriguez, sisters Cynthia Carrasco and Teresa Jimenez, as well as numerous nieces, nephews, and other family members, including 12 grandchildren and 10 great-grandchildren. He was preceded in death by his parents and a daughter, Jasmine Lozano. Graveside services will be held at 2 p.m. Monday, December 21st at Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel, and condolences to the family may be sent online at acreswestfuneral.com. Death notices. Josefina Palma Armendariz. Josefina Palma Armendariz, 72, died Tuesday, December 15th in Odessa. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery, Funeral Home, and Crematory of Midland. Michael Anthony Burlingame. Michael Anthony Burlingame, 53, of Odessa, died Thursday, December 10th in San Antonio. A celebration of life will be held at 2 p.m. December 19th at the 2020 Life Challenge Church. Arrangements are by Frank W. Wilson, Funeral Directors of Odessa. Jamie Lee Pappy Dial. Jamie Lee Pappy Dial, 45, of Odessa, died Tuesday, December 15th. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Edward Leon Jansen. Edward Leon Jansen, 84, of Odessa, died Thursday, December 10th. A memorial service will be held at 1 p.m. Saturday, December 19th at Bethel Assembly of God. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Belinda Landaverde. Belinda Landaverde, 61, of Wills Point, died Monday, December 14th. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. December 21st at American Heritage Funeral Home. Burial will follow at American Heritage Cemetery. John Lee Moreno. John Lee Moreno, 84, of Kermit, died Wednesday, December 16th. Funeral service was held December 18th at Family Services Funeral Chapel. President Jerome Duncan officiated. Arrangements are by Family Services Funeral Parlor of Kermit. Esperanza Barrera Padilla. Esperanza Barrera Padilla, 77, of Odessa, died Sunday, December 6th. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. Monday, December 21st at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church. Burial will follow at the Rose Hill section of Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Odessa Funeral Home of Odessa. Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, December 13th, 2020. Start with trust. Shopping small this holiday season, by Heather Massey, Regional Director of the Better Business Bureau in the Permian Basin. www.bbb.org. COVID-19 has been devastating for many small businesses in the United States, and consumers across the country have been encouraging each other to shop local. Local companies are especially significant in Texas, as the Lone Star State ranks second in the nation for the largest amount of small businesses. Texas is also among the top states that create new jobs via small businesses. In an average year, the holiday shopping season creates a significant peak in revenue for small businesses, but in a pandemic year, shopping local is more important than ever. Fortunately, holiday sales are still expected to rise despite the negative economic impacts of COVID-19. If you're looking for safe ways to support businesses in your community, use these tips from your Better Business Bureau. Buy a gift card. If the pandemic has caused your favorite business or restaurant to temporarily close or reduce operations, buy a gift card to use later. Shop online. Many local vendors have closed their physical doors but are operating virtually and filling online orders. Visit the business website to see what online options it offers. Consider virtual classes. Educators in your area may be offering online classes for art, yoga, cooking, and more. Gifting an online class to friends or family is a creative way to support local professionals while making progress on holiday gift hunting. Eat local. Locally owned restaurants need support during the holidays too. Utilize curbside and takeout options at your favorite eateries to give them your business while staying safe. Take a rain check. If you paid in advance for gifts like event tickets, classes, or other services that may be canceled due to COVID-19, ask for credit on future purchases rather than a refund. Buying from small businesses may be easier said than done for those on a budget. Consider these free ways to support your community. Write a review. If you're unable to buy from your favorite businesses, tell others why they should. Positive reviews and ratings can direct revenue to small businesses from new customers. Like and share. Recommend local businesses to your friends and family by sharing their social media pages. This can help bring more attention to the company's products and services. Show your appreciation. Help boost morale in these tough times by reaching out to small businesses in your community to tell them you appreciate the work they do. For more tips on shopping smart and shopping small, visit us at bbb.org. Happy holidays from everyone at BBB, serving the heart of Texas.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, December 12th, 2020.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, December 12th, 2020, weekend edition. Letters to the editor. Letter perpetuated fake news. It was with absolute astonishment, disbelief, and sadness that I read a letter to the editor that you actually allowed to be printed in Sunday's paper. I am referring, of course, to the idiotic, unfounded, and just plain false assertions concerning contrails. You displayed the ultimate in journalistic incompetence by allowing this piece to make it past the trash can, let alone onto the printed page. When we as a nation and in Midland are struggling desperately to curb a viral pandemic, and we cannot even get people to wear a simple mask to protect others as well as themselves, to publish such garbage only adds fuel to the twisted reasoning of those people refusing to cooperate. Now, had the letter in question contained anti-Semitic remarks, would you have printed it? If it had contained homophobic remarks, would you have allowed it into the paper? Had it contained racial slurs, would you have permitted it to be published? Of course not. And yet, you have allowed damaging fake news and the perpetuation of ignorance to be boldly printed in your newspaper. Condensation trails are just that, condensation. The result of burning aviation fuel with oxygen, which produces carbon dioxide and water vapor. At the high cold altitudes at which aircraft fly, water vapor condenses. Contrails have the same makeup as clouds. But since facts, science, reason, and rational thinking no longer seem to be available to some people, you have chosen to perpetuate their ignorance by publishing this drivel, thereby giving it credence. People can now point to this letter in your newspaper and say that they saw it in the newspaper, so it must be true. Oh, and aren't these hopelessly ignorant and uneducated people the same ones who think that the X-Files is a documentary? For a democracy to survive, it must have an educated electorate. But we are obviously on the downhill slide when people actually believe things like you just published, and your printing of it is not helping matters. By the way, it's not censorship if you don't print something. It's called perpetuating the truth. Hugh Schaefer. Most everyone supports Dixon's goals. In the article titled Interim MISD Superintendent's New Calendar All About Academics, editor Stuart Doreen mentioned that Ann Dixon had told the Reporter-Telegram about the lack of comments she had received from community members who wanted to see academic improvement. A likely reason for the lack of comments is that almost everyone supports her goals, which was not the case with her three latest predecessors, none of whom concentrated on academic improvement. I wish that our school board would make Dr. Dixon an offer she can't refuse to stay permanently. Budge McDonald. Election letters, 200-word limit. MISD District 1, 4. Vargas, Buck Booker deserve your vote. I have been fortunate enough in the last 3 months to work with both Steve Vargas and Michael Booker. These men are exactly what our school board needs. We need to have men of integrity representing their districts. Steve and Michael are passionate about seeing not only their own children succeed, but yours as well. They want to ensure our teachers are set up for success and are being respected and listened to when decisions are being made. Both Steve and Michael can provide fresh perspective to our board. They both have had children in MISD for many years and have seen the struggles that parents, teachers, and students face. They are prepared to value the input of the constituents who live in their district and not make decisions without listening to their concerns. The only motivation Steve and Michael have is to see our teachers and students thrive. If you live in districts 1 or 4, and have felt unheard, or have been disappointed to see failing grades, or have been heartbroken to see teachers resign every year, please get to the polls and vote for Booker in District 1 and Vargas in District 4. Kristen Vasquez, MISD District 1. Booker brings fresh perspective. I am asking residents in District 1 to please vote for Michael Booker. I know Michael will work hard to make sure the people living and working in his district feel heard and respected. I know that Michael is honest and only wants to see the students in our community succeed. His fresh and positive perspective is just what we need to help point MISD in a direction toward improvement. We cannot wait 7 to 10 years to see our students succeed. We need them to succeed now. Michael loves his faith and his family, and he knows that improving our school district will improve our community. We, as a community, can trust his honesty and his integrity and can feel confident that he will listen to the community living within District 1 and what their concerns are. He is open to feedback throughout our town, both good and bad, because he understands it will only make us better. Please vote Michael Booker for MISD School Board in District 1. Nell Booker. Booker wants to make a difference. Michael Booker is an honorable man who wants to make a difference in the lives of children. He is involved in numerous activities in an effort to reach these young kids. Michael grew up in a similar situation as some of these children, and he's excited to make a difference. His energy and drive are what we need in District 1. It's time for his generation to step up and take the reins. We need fresh faces and a new perspective. I feel excited to see his dedication to young lives carry over to the board. He has voiced his concern for the teachers and students. He wants to make sure our kids and our staff are safe and our teachers have the tools they need to make our children successful and functional in society. He wants to make sure our tax dollars are being spent wisely. He wants to support teachers so they will feel every ounce of value that they are. His face will be a familiar one in the schools because he will be in communication with teachers and staff regularly. Michael Booker is the best candidate for District 1. He has my vote. Austin Booker. MISD District 4. Vargas wants to be part of the solution. I met Steve Vargas and his wife Faith a few years ago when I was a coach for Basin CrossFit, and I was immediately impressed with this family. Steve is honest and has the integrity we need to see in people on our school board. I love that he wants things to change and be better and doesn't beat around the bush about it. He is straightforward, and what you see is what you get. The fact that Steve has a background in military and law enforcement is a huge draw for me, because he understands structure and the need for it. He is also just a really great person and an awesome husband and father. Steve is exactly the type of person we need involved on our school board. He is caring, compassionate, honest, understanding, and wants to listen to your concerns and help find a solution. Vote for Steve Vargas for MISD School Board Trustee for District 4. Ashley Henry. Vargas will be responsive for District 4. Steve Vargas will make an outstanding advocate for District 4. Steve has revealed he is concerned and dedicated to making some serious changes. He is genuine, level-headed, and deeply committed to the children, parents, schools, and faculty of MISD. He has a long history of fighting for our country, putting his life on the line each day to make our community a better place, to now focusing his energy on our students, the future of Midland. Steve has been working hard to gather input from parents, teachers, and an array of other community members about what they think is working and what is challenging in our schools. I feel his concern for what is best for students is genuine, and the need for change is sincerely welcomed. As a parent of three that attend MISD, I think he will be especially sensitive to the concerns of parents. In Steve's long line of experience by working the front lines of our community, he has persevered in the ability to work with a wide variety of people. We need to have people on the school board who are responsive and sincere when dealing with students, parents, and faculty. Please join Casey and me in voting for Steve Vargas. Travis McCracken.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, December 13th, 2020. Other voices. Letters to the editor. Former mayors endorse Bryant. We, the undersigned, are the former living mayors for the city of Odessa since 1990 to present day. We all understand the day-to-day issues involved in making a vibrant and expanding city like Odessa operate in an effective and prudent manner, and appreciate the trust the citizens of Odessa have placed in each of us over the past 30 years. Now is the time for us to endorse someone that we all know to be an upstanding business and community leader in Dewey Bryant. And we ask the citizens of Odessa to please take the time to come out and vote for Dewey for mayor Tuesday, December 15th. Being mayor is not a one-issue job or one that can be tied to one agenda. It takes a person who sees all sides of many different issues and makes fair and balanced decisions for all citizens with no ties to special interest groups or political parties. Dewey has shown his business acumen for decades, and we all know he will be the kind of honest, trustworthy, and ethical mayor that Odessa will be proud of. We ask that for the good of all Odessa, you please vote for Dewey Bryant for mayor. Lorraine Perryman, mayor 1990 to 1996. Mike Atkins, mayor 1996 to 2000. Larry Melton, mayor 2001 to 2012. Elected officials should answer to voters. Since when does pointing out an elected official's voting record become an attack ad? I have been closely watching all of the news and advertising regarding our upcoming city council runoff election. I have received many advertisements for all candidates in the mail. I have read multiple letters to the editor. I have received multiple text messages and emails from all parties involved. One thing just really stands out to me. The current incumbent candidates keep whining and crying that their opponents in this race are running unscrupulous attack ads against them. I see that being an incumbent certainly comes with many advantages in an election such as this. However, as an incumbent, these candidates must also be able to stand on their past decisions and voting history. Both Mr. Bryant and Mr. Turner have issues that they must answer for. First, they both voted to approve $93 million in new debt, taxes, and used general obligation certificates to do it. They claimed that they used this method of funding as the city was facing dire emergency situations that had to be funded then. They told us that we desperately needed a new firehouse and a new animal shelter immediately. Here we are, 16 months later, and the city is just now putting these projects out to bid and are not even close to breaking ground. Surely 16 months is plenty of time to put these needs out to a vote of the citizens. Second, they have habitually voted for ostentatious expenses for the downtown convention center, knowing full well that our police department is critically underfunded and that our officers need better compensation. Third, while Mr. Bryant claims that the current lawsuit from the Bank of San Antonio has absolutely nothing to do with him, surely as CEO of Southwest Bank, he knows that the buck stops with him. He is responsible for what his employees do. He claims that Southwest Bank is just another victim of two rogue employees, the same two employees that he personally referred to as fine, fine individuals. We've known them for a long time and are glad to have them associated with the bank. A best case scenario is that Mr. Bryant is guilty of what could be considered criminally negligent management. Lastly, Mr. Bryant and Mr. Turner both voted to support terrible investments of city funds. I am speaking of investments such as the $15 million that was invested to rebuild the Ector Theater that is now being leased for a whopping return of $1 per year. Our elected officials, whomever that turns out to be, must realize that they are not elected to their positions to make decisions for the voters of their district. They are elected to carry the vote of the people of their district to city council. The people of Odessa are smart people. It is city council's job to educate the people in their district on the issues before them and then take the people's vote to the council meeting. They are representatives. They are not executors. The incumbents in this election need to realize that they are accountable to the voters of Odessa for their decisions and their votes on city issues. I just find it crazy that they see these attack ads as anything other than the voters of Odessa holding them accountable for their past votes. Chuck Hawks, via email. Time for a change. Before I get into the details of my plea for change, I want to detail my perspective on this issue. First of all, when we are talking about city council positions, let's acknowledge that these are unpaid positions, and those serving set out with the best intentions of doing what they feel is right. These people want to make a difference in serving the community. It is a great responsibility and requires a great sacrifice of time and energy to serve. I like Mayor Turner on a personal level. I think he is a good man, and we have had several good, productive conversations. I like that he was able to get private money involved in investing in our community, and I think more of that is needed to help Odessa reach its potential. I do think there are many details about the Ector Theater that should have been communicated more clearly, but I don't think anyone on City Council had any malicious or selfish intent to scam taxpayers. I am seriously concerned about the people who are advising our community leaders. Currently, our tax dollars are used to pay for membership in the Texas Municipal League. This organization advises municipalities on a wide variety of matters, including tax policy, increasing tax revenue, and fiscal policy. In other words, our tax dollars are used to pay a lobbyist group that is designed to tax us more. This has led to several blunders in fiscal policy, and I believe these blunders will continue if we reelect any of the current council to any position. I suspect Bryant and Turner will continue to go back and get advice from the same people again and again, finding new ways to tax citizens. I disagree with Mayor Turner and Dewey Bryant's plan to raise taxes for water infrastructure without taking it to the people for a vote. I understand that over the last 10 years, we have seen unprecedented growth that no one expected. However, it was explained to me that the city council had to just pass it. If they let the citizens vote and it did not pass, the city council would not be allowed to spend the money on infrastructure without taking it to a vote again. But isn't that the point? Don't we want to decide on how we are taxed? It seems to be the opinion of Mayor Turner and Dewey Bryant that they know better than us. Therefore, it just has to be done. Our taxes have to increase, despite the fact that we are in the middle of a pandemic and an unprecedented oil bust. These men don't mind increasing taxes because they believe it is for our own good. However, I'm tired of my money being spent on things that do not really matter or make life any better. I'm tired of my money being spent on things that benefit very few people because it comes from a specific revenue source, like the hotel-motel revenue. Instead, we spend money like we have money burning a hole in our pocket. We could create a complex with soccer, football, softball, and baseball field, or a facility to hold volleyball and basketball tournaments for our kids. These kinds of facilities would bring in more hotel and restaurant revenue. These kinds of facilities would be an investment. Instead, we refurbish a rusty old tower and put lights on it for all to see. I'm sure we'll start getting more tourists to view the beautiful tower as soon as the pandemic is over. I am also tired of my tax dollars fighting legal battles that should not be battles. The city continues to withhold information from the Odessa American despite its Freedom of Information request. There should be no fight to see what our government representatives are saying behind closed doors. The constant fighting and the many threats of legal action are carried out with our own tax dollars. It's all coming out of our pocket. Stop it. It's ridiculous. We have to change the way we think about government. The events of the last year should make everyone care about voting. If you aren't paying attention, our elected officials will be the ones to shut down your business and limit your freedoms. This is not the way things should work. Vote Javier Hoven for mayor. Vote Denise Swanner for Odessa City Council at large. And vote Mark Mata for District 1. Chris Ray, Odessa. Time for Turner and Bryant to go. Much has been said regarding the current city council and runoff election. It is relatively simple to me. Most sizable businesses are run by and governed by boards of directors, presidents, CEOs, CFOs, and others generally called executive leadership. Large cities like Odessa are indeed big businesses with budgets of many millions of dollars and are governed in similar manner, but their executive leadership consists of mayors, council members, city managers, etc. There are generally accepted standards for running cities appropriately and efficiently, just as there are for businesses. Business owners, just as the citizens of cities, must have and expect proper reports and other required information to be forthcoming for them to evaluate the job being done by their leadership. Most who work in the oil and gas industry are familiar with a standard called API, American Petroleum Institute, which covers a myriad of actions, contracts, measurements, and qualifications, much too numerous to mention here. Simply put, and borrowing their acronym letters, I look for API, ability, performance, and integrity in city governance. Performance always trumps personality. Two of the incumbent candidates are merely playing musical chairs, so to speak, to continue business as usual. They are part of the existing city government that has steadfastly refused to divulge information that citizens require and rightly deserve to evaluate the condition of the city and the quality of the actions of present management in operating the city. Per today's Odessa American, the current mayor and council have spent close to $100,000 of taxpayer money fighting a lawsuit for the release of just such public information to the Odessa American. When our city government defied the right of the citizens of Odessa to information required and rightly deserved to judge the operation and affairs of their city, I determined that my decision was to replace those responsible with some who I believe will govern well with great ability, performance, and integrity, and with transparency and openness. Consequently, my endorsement of Javier Hoven, Denise Swanner, and Mark Mata is in keeping with this. I am so very concerned and bewildered by what is happening in our nation, our state, and our city. There seem to be many commonalities among leadership everywhere in trying to determine who our leaders really are politically. I refer to these scriptures primarily. Matthew 7:20, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. James 2:18, to paraphrase, one must walk the walk and not just talk the talk. C.R. Dick Salisbury, Odessa. Ask what Odessa can do for you. It seems that the new slogan for our city is, ask not what you can do for Odessa, ask what Odessa can do for you. This seems to be evident in the selection of STA, Steve Thompson and Associates, as the agency to handle the insurance needs of city employees. Steve Thompson is the newly elected member of the City Council representing District 2. Mr. Thompson explained that STA, the company he founded, is in the hands of his son, and he abstained from voting on the issue. Personally, I see a strong parallel between this distasteful action and the situation involving Joe Biden and his son Hunter's dealings with Ukraine. I have to assume that the STA bid was the best bid that was submitted, although my search of past council meeting minutes could find no mention of other bids being submitted. Odessa residents have an opportunity during the runoff election to replace some of the council members who have failed to perform in an equitable manner. It seems that in Steve Thompson, they have elected another one who has his own best interest at heart. For a better Odessa tomorrow, vote for Javier Hoven, Denise Swanner, and Mark Mata today. Jolene Hawkins, Odessa. Letter to the editor. Elect Dewey Bryant, mayor of Odessa. A day late and a penny short, but our campaign for Gloria for Mayor has reached the silent majority in Odessa. We built momentum and inspired a lot of voters. In our hearts, we won the race. We won the race despite the bashing of the precinct chairs of the Ector County Republican Party, ECRP. We won the race despite the endorsement of the Ector County Republican Party of the four candidates, Javier Hoven, Denise Swanner, Rachel Miner, and Michael Mata. We won the race by getting a broad spectrum of silent Odessans who understand what is needed and who can help to get that done. I am committed to be part of the team that mobilizes and continues to strive to make our community to be positive and fair for everyone, regardless of who they are. We won despite all the allegations of the ECRP Executive Board and remained honorable by not dignifying their politics and giving them a platform to expound on their dirty rhetoric. We ran on our merits. The ECRP has given the Republican Party a bad name. They are out of line. They seem to forget that this is a political party that embraces traditional Texas value, diversity. We suggest for Tish Crow to step down. This is not a tenured position. This is not a private club. We want to thank everyone who supported us. There are many to mention, but specifically the Honorable Tryon Lewis, Jack Ladd Jr., Iris Alvarez, David Lawalan, Ravi Shakamuri, Dr. and Mrs. Satish Nayak, Dr. and Mrs. Jayaram Naidu, Dr. Manohar Agirikula, Dr. Anand Reddy, Dr. Rajnar Singh Chennamanai, Dr. and Mrs. Ramon Domingo, Dr. Pilarasetti Raja, Dr. Usha Kura, Dr. Siam S. Vernalapalli, Dr. and Mrs. E., Dr. Nancy Bueno, Dr. and Mrs. John Molland. We are continuing our quest for a better and stronger Odessa by endorsing Dewey Bryant. We will help the city and its government by open dialogue in a much friendlier than adversarial fashion. We are all in this together, and we must work together for the good of the people and the community of Odessa. We also want to thank the Filipino, Indian, Nigerian, Cambodian, Vietnamese, and Arab communities that supported us. We are continuing a quest for a better and stronger Odessa by endorsing Dewey Bryant, a dedicated, honest leader, a Christian family man. Thank you, Gloria G. Apollinario. Chevron donates $60,000 to West Texas hospitals. Chevron announced $20,000 donations to three West Texas hospitals in Pecos, Reeves, and Ward counties as the region deals with a surge in coronavirus cases. This donation is one example of how Chevron is committed to supporting healthcare workers on the front lines of the pandemic while protecting its workforce. We hope this virus subsides, but in the meantime, we are grateful to be able to support these worthy hospitals by funding much-needed resources and equipment, Mike Milliorn, Chevron Operations Superintendent, stated. The counties in rural West Texas are at their highest levels of COVID cases since the beginning of the pandemic in March. With holiday travel and gatherings, the hospitals are preparing for the worst and are nearing capacity in COVID units. All three hospitals stressed that their staff has been working hard to keep the patients and the community safe. The funds will be used in various ways dependent on the needs of the hospital and region. Brenda McKinney, CEO of Reeves County Hospital, said the hospital plans to use the funds to replenish its PPE supply. Chevron has done so much for hospitals, and we are truly blessed to be one of the recipients of such a generous donation, McKinney continued. Ward Memorial Hospital will be using the monies received to go towards purchasing a plasma freezer and a COVID vaccine refrigerator, as required by the state, Leticia Rodriguez, CEO of the hospital, stated. The past 3 weeks have definitely been hard on our team with the spike in COVID cases, but this donation from Chevron will assist us in continuing to better serve the community. Betsy Briscoe, CEO of Pecos County Memorial Hospital, said their hospital will also dedicate funds for the much-awaited vaccine. This donation will assist in purchasing supplies for administration of the vaccine to our healthcare workers and, when available, our community, stated Briscoe. It is the frontline healthcare workers, including those in Pecos, Reeves, and Ward counties, who are the heroes of the pandemic, Chevron's Millorn said. Everyone at Chevron would like to thank the hospital staff for their passion and hard work, especially as the cases continue to climb in the region. The light at the end of the tunnel appears to be in sight, concluded Briscoe, but we still have work to do. Additional information about Chevron is available at www.chevron.com. To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Urologists treats ED caused by blockages. Dear Dr. Roach, some months ago you wrote that the blood flow to the penis could be reduced by blockages in the arteries. What kind of doctor should a guy go to, and what tests should be asked for? J. Answer. Low blood flow to the penis is one common cause of erectile dysfunction, ED. Without adequate blood to the arteries supplying the penis, an adequate erection may not be possible. It is unusual that those arteries are the only ones blocked. This symptom occurs most commonly in people with multiple blockages, although ED is occasionally the first indication of atherosclerotic arterial disease. Hence, men with ED should have an evaluation for other arterial blockages, such as to the legs, heart, or brain. An imaging study or stress test may be appropriate in men with risk factors. Although family doctors, internists, and cardiologists all do evaluation for arterial disease, a urologist who specializes in erectile dysfunction may have additional tools available, such as an arterial duplex ultrasound of the penis, to look for blockages.
Dear Abby, relatives pressed into manual labor by aunt who lives alone. Dear Abby, 10 months ago, my aunt's 66-year-old live-in boyfriend died unexpectedly. She has no children and is left with a 4-bedroom, 2-bathroom house to take care of by herself. She has always been in debt, I think, and his final expenses only made it worse. Since his death, she has expected my family, mostly me, to complete a list of chores every time I visit. I have been asked to hook up her garden hose, plant grass, exterminate bees, replant flowers, vacuum, even move her boyfriend's ashes from the original bag to a more permanent urn. So far, I have managed to avoid taking care of her pool and cutting her grass, but it's only a matter of time before the neighbors stop doing it for her. I love my aunt, and she has done a lot for me over the years. I realize she has no kids to take care of her, but I don't think I should be expected to be her lackey for the next 30 years. How do I tell her I can't be responsible for taking care of her house without getting her upset or angry? Is it my place to say something to her mother and siblings? She has been very emotional since the death, and we've all been walking on eggshells, but she won't go to therapy. Overwhelmed nephew. Dear nephew, your aunt may not need a therapist as much as she needs a grief support group to help her work through her loss. Her mood swings, which I am sure surge and wane from day to day, are magnified by her money problems. Because the house and yard are now too much for her to handle alone, it might make sense for her to downsize and put the money she gets from selling the place to work for her. Of course, she should run the idea by her attorney or accountant before making any decisions, but it might be the solution, not only to her problem, but also to yours. Dear Abby, my husband and I bought a house and moved in literally the day COVID was announced as a national emergency. I had planned to go around to our new neighbors and introduce ourselves, perhaps with a small gift. I'm a professional baker. That obviously hasn't been possible. We've had some over-the-fence interactions with a couple of neighbors, but I feel bad I haven't reached out to the others. My husband and I are private, introverted people, but I still want to make ourselves known as approachable. Is it too late? What's the protocol on introducing yourselves to neighbors? Given that everything is in flux and we still don't know if it's safe, I don't want to let that become an excuse to put it off indefinitely. Neighborly in New Mexico. Dear Neighborly, it is not too late. A charming way to introduce yourselves would be to deliver, or have delivered, a small plant to each of your neighbors, with a short note, explaining that you are new to the community, you are a professional baker, and you regret that the quarantine makes it impossible to reach out in a more personal way. Be sure to include your address and phone number. Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Asland. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Sagittarius and a moon in Aquarius. Happy birthday for Friday, December 18, 2020. Expansive, idealistic, and persistent, you think in far-reaching terms, not overlooking the details, and it's the latter that helps you succeed this year. Your ambitious project proves very powerful. If single, it's not for long, as you meet your soulmate in July. If attached, your partner is loving, and a friend to whom you need to give a bit more space. Leo is most understanding and sympathetic to you. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 4 stars. Today promises new goals and fresh perspectives. Progress will be made in achieving professional aspirations. Don't let social situations create any awkwardness at work. Your loyalties and attachments are in flux. Tonight, there are rewards if you become active in online groups. Taurus, April 20 through May 20, 4 stars. There can be some job-related travel. Update skills and experiment with creative ideas in connection with your work. You'll be highly visible and may be making more of an impression than you realize. Tonight, balancing family needs with the expectations of professional colleagues. Gemini, May 21 through June 20, 5 stars. Today is promising to write for publication. You can enjoy exploring spiritual and philosophical truths from other lands. It's a perfect time to plan an odyssey to a special site, especially if it's a mountainous locale. Tonight, explore options regarding education. Cancer, June 21 through July 22, 3 stars. Dreams and fantasy abound today. Seek a wholesome creative outlet and do not jump to conclusions. You experience a sense of deeper peace regarding the inevitable cycles of death, birth, and rebirth. Tonight, avoid eye contact with suspected psychic vampires. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 2 stars. A tense element affects partnerships today. Focus on working together. Others can seem rather assertive or even demanding. Refuse to give energy to individuals who frequently disappoint or frustrate you. Tonight, situations with in-laws impact your love life, for better or worse. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 4 stars. Following through on fitness programs takes time and patience. Don't skimp on sleep, and take regular breaks when engaged in physically demanding activities. The health impact of heredity and past habits are in evidence today. Tonight, study the technique of healing touch. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 4 stars. The prospect of a more settled and committed situation has appeal today. Opportunities for a lasting love with potential for growth will abound. When finalizing a commitment concerning a serious relationship, make certain that the two families will blend well. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 4 stars. Living arrangements improve today. Real estate transactions can improve. For those with bittersweet memories of early home and family life, it's time to process them for release. An old family secret could come to light. Tonight, family discussion over dinner. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 4 stars. If you seek help, others will be especially supportive today. Invest extra effort in your appearance. A journey can be quite a learning experience. Catch up on correspondence. Accept an invitation or two. Tonight, share a good joke or story with one you love. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 5 stars. Debts or other obligations which have held you back finally get under control today. You're about to be free to progress more rapidly, guilt-free. You'll want to shop. There are some treasures you simply must have. Tonight, delightful online retail therapy. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 5 stars. Today you have enhanced energy. A competitive mood commences. Your leadership ability grows. Moderate exercise works wonders for your overall well-being. New acquaintances perceive you as bohemian. Tonight, learn about the values of those who have gone before you. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 5 stars. Today's transit has long been related to the assistance of guardian angels. Help arrives when least expected and most needed, for angels can come in the form of helpful friends or professional consultants. Tonight, someone waits shyly for encouragement from you. Born today, guitarist Keith Richards, 1943, director Steven Spielberg, 1946, actor Brad Pitt, 1963.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.